Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
So, we're going to do things a little better this time, because I did a bunch of research for you today.
Oh, okay. Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and tell me everything you know about this, and you're welcome, everybody. It's brought to you by me.
Are you sure it wasn't brought to you by...
By me.
Are you sure?
Who?
Stranger Still?
And this is Stranger Still. I'm great. What is this?
This is a hopefully the people listening would know by now, but this might be someone's first episode.
Yeah.
This is Stranger Still.
And it's a podcast where we answer your strange questions.
Yeah. It's like when you have a shower thought and it goes away and you don't bother to put it into Google, and then I put it into Google and then we make a podcast out of it.
Yeah.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Began.
And today we're going to talk about, have you ever caught someone taking credit for something that you've done?
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this. Have you ever caught anybody taking credit for something that you've done? Like something that you've come up with and then someone turns it around on you?
Yeah, I haven't ever encountered that. No, I've actually got a really funny story that I just literally just now remembered.
Yeah.
Which was, I had a roommate. I'm not going to call him out, but you know who you are.
Okay. You had one roommate though, right?
I had two.
Okay.
So, a long time ago, I was telling this story about how Shelby's cousin went to high school with us. And we were in the hallway, and he accidentally called Shelby by his girlfriend's name. And he's like, oh, Freudian slip. And I didn't know what that was until, 2 years later, I learned what a Freudian slip was. Do you know what a Freudian slip is?
It's, isn't it relating to your family and sex? Like, when you start talking about,
Yeah, it's Freud's idea that when you misspeak, it's your subconscious coming out.
Yeah.
So, in this context that Shelby's cousin created, he's like, oh, I wish my cousin was my girlfriend.
Oh, cool.
And then self-incriminated himself by saying Freudian slip. Why would you say that? So, I told this story to this roommate, and, years, probably, 3 years later or something, he was my roommate. And I was on my computer in another room, and he had some friends over, and he was telling the story to these people as if it happened to him. And I was like, what? How do you... I'm in the other room, and I told that to you. You think I'm not going to notice? You're stealing my material?
But did he say...
No.
It was his cousin?
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Well, he could say Nick's cousin if he enjoyed your story.
No. It was from his perspective.
Okay. Then so. That's really dumb.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, I mean, for example, I did ask anyone at work if they heard about the news about the partially blind man.
Yeah.
The partially blind man that fell in the well.
Yeah, why did he fall in the well?
Because he didn't see that well. But immediately afterwards, I did say copyright Nick Wood. That was Nick Wood exclusive.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah.
So I guess that counts as citing my source.
Yeah, good job citing your source.
Thank you. And thank you.
Yeah. I don't think we've talked about this, but because I haven't been the joke master lately, but I used to be the master of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
All the jokes are mine.
Yeah.
I had a copyright on that, at least 40% of the market.
Right.
Which is, that's a pretty big one.
Well, yeah. That was back in the day when you got real value out of each joke.
Yeah.
Now they're a dime a dozen for the most part. It's all about quantity.
It's inflation. It's joke inflation is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of economy is not sustainable. It's like Zimbabwe.
Sorry, you misspoke. You said economy. You meant a comedy.
There you go. See, you just flooded the market more.
Thank you.
You just inflated it that much more.
Prices will go run up.
So... the reason that I wanted to ask you that and tell that story is because our topic today, this is a really long-winded explanation as to say that today we're going to talk about why do some people get credit for things that other people are involved with. That's the simplest way to say it, I think.
Or why do people take credit for other people's work?
Is this you're going to do this all
is show? It the simpler way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this came from Jeff Tibbetts. On our Facebook group.
Just a little tidbit from Jeff.
Oh, I bet he's never heard that one before.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's a friend of ours and a host of the podcast Chapter Approved, which is a Warhammer 4K podcast. So if you like role-playing games, you might like his podcast, and you should go listen to it. It's pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you rate it now, it gets him, I think he's in the first like 8-week window where if you go and rate and review him, he can get the new and noteworthy listeners. So
let's get him on there.
Go support him. Anyway, he asked, I trimmed this down just a little bit, but why is in some forms of art, the head of the project gets all of the credit, while in some others, they're careful to mention everyone who helps. For example, an artist like Tiffany, the stained glass guy, gets credit for his designs when they're made in a workshop. Now compare that to something like the music or film industry, where everyone who works on it is usually given individual credit. So I feel like we're a little late, but this is like a great question for around the Oscars, because I've often thought, like, for multiple years, when a movie like La La Land wins Best Picture.
Yeah, hey, it was, that was Moonlight, that one.
Where's Jimmy Kimmel? I need him to confirm.
What a funny, likable guy. Let's keep making jokes.
Do you not like Jimmy Kimmel?
Not particularly.
Why not?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, God. Now my world is shattered. I like him.
He's all right.
Okay. All right. I used to not like him. Maybe I can sway you.
It's Jimmy Fallon, I think.
Jimmy Fallon's not funny.
We'll talk about that later, okay. Too.
So, like, when a movie like Moonlight goes up for Best Picture and they're handed their award, why is it, like, 5 people out of 100 and some people that actually ended up making the movie?
Right. I saw a really cool tweet.
Yeah.
That said, and now we get to watch the least interesting people win awards that make movies. The actors. I was like, all right, shots fired.
Ba-bing, ba-bing,
yeah, a lot of people go into it. But they do have their own special secret Oscars that go on before then for, like, categories that people don't want to watch, I guess.
All the boring things.
Like, all the really, like, non-boring, exciting, important things.
Yeah. The things that, like, I would care about.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, anyway, Jeff's question sparked a really good conversation on our page. So, I figured, let's make it into a full episode. So, congratulations, Jeff. You've done it. Here's your Oscar.
Hey, actually,
Yeah?
Yeah, real quick.
Uh-huh.
I formed the Stranger Still Group, and so I think I'll take this on his behalf.
Sorry, it looks like the award is actually going to John Began.
That's fine. That's
for starting the Facebook
group. I deserve this.
You're so humble, too.
I'm the most humble person you'll ever meet in your life. You'll never meet anybody even close.
Believe me.
Yeah.
So the simplest answer actually comes from Justin on our Facebook page. Who asked his wife, who is an artist and a teacher, Jeff's question, mm-hmm. and she said, because art isn't fair.
Yeah.
All right, let's end the episode.
Yeah, there you go. That's, yeah.
It's, life's not fair, but whatever. So there's a lot of things that go into this, and it's messy, and there's not an exact answer. Only because it happens in, like, every industry. You name something, and this is happening in it somewhere. It's happening to me.
Someone's taking credit for other credits.
But whatever.
Yeah.
No one's asking me about my situation, but I've got a ton of specific examples that I can point to, and I think it explains a lot of the things that we see where people are taking credit for things that a lot of people put their heart and soul into
mm-hmm.
that aren't getting credit. So I think the first and most common one is they have the copyrights. It's plain and simple as that.
Yep.
Then the best example is the story about the smiley face. I think you've heard the story before, right? I think they talked about it on, like, Stuff You Should Know, and I've heard it many other places. But the smiley face that we know today, the yellow circle with the two oval eyes and the slapdash smile, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
was originally created by a man named Harvey Ross Ball. He was a graphic designer hired by State Mutual Life Assurance Company.
Yeah. Hey, you're still alive for sure. For
oh,
definite.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for
the call, Jeff.
Thanks for coming in.
All right. Click. Well, I don't know why it's not insurance, but it is assurance.
Yeah.
Anyway, they hired him to come up with something that would raise morale with its own employees. So it took him 10 minutes to do, as I would imagine. It's a circle with a smiley. Like, it's a no-brainer. Whatever. And he got $45 for it. And in the end, neither he nor the State Mutual Life Assurance Company copyrighted it. So it was just, like, free and in the air. And eventually, this French company came along. They saw this, like, in a button shop or something where the design was handed over for this company. And they snatched it up and copyrighted it and started an entire company off the smiley face. It's called the Smiley Company. So
wow.
Now, this, like, the whole smiley thing is attributed to the Smiley Company instead of whatever his face is.
Yeah, what was his name?
I don't remember. It's lost in history.
Me neither.
It was Harvey Ross Ball. The other thing that I thought of was with IBM patents. Have you ever heard about those?
No.
Well, I don't remember where I heard this, but if someone working for IBM comes up with a patent or comes up with something and it's patented, IBM has the rights to that. Even if that person leaves the company, IBM keeps that patent.
Cool.
Yeah, it's, I don't understand if like you're an engineer and you know that going into it, why you'd be okay with that.
I guess that's the subtext in the documents when you sign on.
Yeah.
Kind of like when you work at Jimmy John's and you get fired or you quit and you can't work in another sandwich shop within 3 miles. Did you know that? I learned that today, too.
Is that real?
That's real.
I thought you were joking.
Nope.
That can't be real.
Look it up. Okay. Fact check it later.
I'll look it up. So I think that just leads to people, like, if they come up with a really good idea, just holding on to it, and they're like, okay, I'm going to quit in 5 months, and then I'll put this patent out. But then I think they could probably get sued by IBM if they can prove that they came up with the idea when they were working for the company. Really messy.
That's terrible.
Yeah. It just gets worse and worse. So, but I mean, if they sign the agreement, they sign the contracts, IBM has the copyrights to it, so they get to take credit for it. Hey, we cured cancer while I was working for IBM, so IBM cured cancer.
Yep.
Ta-da! Sorry, Gerald.
Damn it. You got me again.
The other thing is that some people just pay other people to do the dirty work. Some people don't care about getting credit, and there's always going to be some sort of task where someone comes up with the idea but needs other people or more people to execute it, and there's people willing to take a few bucks and do it for them.
Yeah.
And they, in this specific instance, they would have the original idea or partner with someone to get the original idea. And then the biggest instance that I came across was there was a couple guys in Australia that had this giant decorative bridge with like a lot of little decorative details in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be these two dudes like placing these tiny little tiles on this mile long bridge by themselves. So of course they have to pay other people to do it.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that came to mind for me was Andy Warhol's factory. Do you know about that?
I know of it.
Well, I think it was like in your area. It was like around New York City or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of people working in this factory. A lot of things went on in this factory.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do know about that. Anything that anyone came up with, Andy Warhol came up with.
Well, yeah, yeah. Like, he would... there was a lot of things in this factory. There was music, there was movies made there, and there's also people churning out artwork. And in some cases, it was his artwork where they were just screen printing it. But like you said, if they came up with it, then he would put his stamp on it, and it was because it was made in Andy Warhol's factory. It's Andy Warhol's now.
Yep.
And as far as the other people that are just working these screen prints all day, they're getting paid to do it, but they don't care that it's his artwork that they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're getting paid to, at least they're getting paid. They just don't care about the credit.
Or they're just ecstatic to be around.
Yeah. They're like, oh man, Andy Warhol looks like a troll doll that's invented in 30 years. I'm so excited to be around him. Sorry, Andy, for putting you on blast. I watched, like, 3 minutes of Men in Black 3, which probably wasn't very good. I don't know if that movie is any good. They go back in time, and they go to Andy Warhol's factory, and he's there. And it's actually, like, I think it's an alien in disguise to look really weird. And I was like, oh, that explains Andy Warhol.
Weird. I didn't know that anyone watched that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched, like, 5 minutes of it. Shut up.
What was it like?
It was not good. Okay. Like, Will Smith has to jump off of building to go travel through time, which doesn't make any sense.
Cool.
Because, like, for whatever reason, whenever time travel happens in movies, you have to be traveling 88 miles per hour or something. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now.
Yeah, tell me more about this Men in Black 3.
Jay's in it. Jay's, like, 30 years old.
I've seen it, Nick.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's fine. I think it came with a pizza.
You got a free coupon for Men in Black 3.
I think so.
It's like this is like so off topic, but Sony made this really awful Ghostbusters game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bought the really awful game on the PlayStation 4, they'd give you a free copy of the Ghostbusters movie. It's like, please just buy our game, please. Please. We really want you to buy our game, please. Please. Please.
Wow. Yeah. Poor guys. Poor fellas.
I know. Anyway. This goes both ways, though, back to people getting people to do the dirty work. It kind of goes both ways, for example, with producers of many different art forms. Maybe someone else has the idea, and they pay to have it executed. And this is sort of how it works with TV shows a lot. Like, someone will come up with a pilot, they'll shop it around to a bunch of different networks because they don't have enough to make a full series and put it on television and stuff. So they'll go to these different studios until someone says, yes, we will produce the show.
Or we'll tie it to a name for popularity, like Steven Spielberg Presents.
Well, yes, that was exactly where I was going to go. Mm-hmm. Our heads went to the exact same spot. So, for example, Amblin is Steven Spielberg's studio, and a long time ago and more recently, they would slap their names on movies because they provided the studio space for the movie to be made. And then when the advertisements came out, they'd say, from the studio that made Indiana Jones or E.T. It's like, no, they filmed it in the same area because you guys let them, but Steven Spielberg had nothing to do with this. But producers, and maybe you know a little bit more about this, but it kind of goes backwards for music producers, where like a lot of the popular pop artists will have songs given to them, written by a producer, and then they'll just kind of be the face of that song.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah?
I've done that and I've experienced that both.
Go on.
When I was a little kid, I was in a hardcore band. It was Love Robot. I was a screamer. I was friends with another band called The Red Dream. Mm-hmm. And the drummer of that band's uncle or cousin or whatever was dating this music producer in New York City. His name was Joseph Janis. Uh-huh. Joseph Janis was a manager that worked with these two guys. They were called the Berman Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they said, hey, we're starting this little pop band type thing. It's just stupid and lame because we're in a hardcore band and we're cool, uh-huh, but I guess we'll give it a shot for my cousin. Uh-huh. So we went into New York City and we went up to like the 50th floor of this building that the Berman Brothers owned. Uh-huh. And they had Grammys for What Is Love by Hathaway. They wrote that. They wrote Mbop by Hanson. They wrote Who Let the Dogs Out. And they were like, we're going to make you guys giant stars. Uh-huh. We are going to tour starting in Germany. And that's the plan. Can we hear you sing now? So they hadn't heard me sing yet. So then I auditioned. They're like, all right, you're in. But we knew it wasn't like a hoax because they own the building.
Right.
And because it was them. So we went back. We did a couple of studio sessions. I haven't even heard these songs since then. But
they
said,
out there in the world?
They're out there in the world somewhere, probably on the Berman Brothers hard drives. They were the sweetest guys ever.
Yeah.
But Joseph was a little, he would chain drink Red Bulls and chain smoke cinnamon cigarettes.
What?
So he would be like, yeah, let's go. I just love this, let's go. And then he'd be like, don't be messing around. This is really expensive. He'd be like, well, he'd be paying like $5,000 an hour at the studio. It was called Chungking Studios, which is created by the Beastie Boys. Huh. Sorry to go off on this whole tangent.
No, this is way more interesting than my example.
So we'd sit down, and there's a song called Out of Control that the Berman Brothers wrote, and I sat down, and I listened to it, and they're like, okay, this is your single. And there it was like, out of control, you gotta buy it, wanna believe me, banner, banner. Didn't have all the lyrics there, just out of control.
Yeah.
And the reason was because the Berman Brothers brought me to another studio, and they said, okay, John, so now, like, what is out of control in your life? And we had to sit down, and we, like, wrote lyrics, and, like, it was really fun. But you got to see the process of, it's like, we were the Berman Brothers project. They were creating a boy band, and we were going to tour Europe.
And that never happened.
It fell through because at some point, all the guys were like, this is lame. We're a hardcore band.
Yeah.
We want to do hardcore music.
See, this is, I think I talked about this on a past episode where this is where I'm like, I can't tell if John's lying or not, but you're absolutely not.
Yeah.
And I know you're not. It sounds like you're lying so hard.
Because it's just a ridiculous story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Berman Brothers, Joseph Janis,
yeah.
All that stuff was really fun. And I remember Joseph was in a room with me, and we were writing lyrics, and he was like, let's listen to this song by this new artist I have called Ben Yellen. And we'd listen to him, and he'd be like, sometimes you just want to fly. And he would just, like, close his eyes, and I was like,
was he hanging out with the White Dragon or something? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. He just had a club cigarettes and Red Bulls.
Oh, okay.
Dude was fine. But, yeah, that was an interesting, fun part of my life. I got to learn about Pro Tools and record in a studio, and that's what changed my band from being hardcore to pop, and it changed me, and I was only, like, 16 this time, so.
Weird.
Changed my whole music career, because even though it didn't work out with them that way, we'd started to pursue things in more mainstream light, and ended up, you know, our peak was making 2 music videos and filming underwater, which is something I always wanted to do.
Yeah, and now look at you.
Now look at me, now I'm a slob. I live in a cornfield.
Yeah, good job. Your life is on the up and up.
But that's okay. You guys are going to show this episode and make us famous, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah, please. So my example, so exciting.
Okay.
Ah, it's great. Woo, you excited?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Think the audience is drummed up for my exciting example?
Sure, yeah. Bring it on.
You know Rihanna. Rihanna. Everyone loves Rihanna. You know Rihanna.
Yeah, I've heard of her. Yeah.
She, you know her breakout hit? You know it. You love it.
L-L-L-A-A-A?
Yeah, Under My Umbrella. That one.
Yeah.
Was written by someone and was originally going to be given to Britney Spears, but was instead given to Rihanna.
Was it written by Lady Gaga?
I don't know. It's the end of my story.
Lady Gaga wrote a lot of songs for Usher. I don't know if she wrote for Britney, but she wrote... That's how she started, just a songwriter.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of money and that stuff. But it's just, you become a ghostwriter and you make a bunch of money.
I like my exciting story.
I liked your exciting story.
Oh, God, that was amazing.
Well, let's get back to work.
Oh, I want to shake your hand.
I genuinely love that song.
You like anything that's repetitious, and I hate stuff that's repetitious. And now there's like four songs where it's just like work. Because there's one by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
And there's one by Rihanna.
Uh-huh.
And there's another one by, I don't know.
Give her a break, dude. Chill out. She's got that one new song that came out. Now it's time to play.
That's the same song.
Oh, yeah, well, I guess
no,
so.
But no, there was one by Britney Spears. It's like, you gotta work. You gotta work.
Oh.
And then there's the Rihanna one. And then there was another one by another lady that was like, work. I don't know. It was like, work. It was like, work.
Well, work is like work. A popular pop culture word. You gotta work it, bud. Like Miss Elliott.
Work it. Let me twerk it. How's that song go?
Flip it down. Something and reverse it.
Work for them and wet. Yep.
Yeah.
Work on a Swiffer wet jet.
Yep. Yeah, that you got it. You nailed it.
Nailed it.
Topical.
Holy crap, we got off topic.
1990 what?
So, movies. Let's just close out.
Can't live without them.
Yeah, I know.
Keep going.
Should we talk about movies?
Please.
So movies, as I said up top, that's going to sound like a bad edit. Where I'm just like laughing and all of a sudden I'm not.
No, you're going to get rid of all this garbage because it's terrible.
So movie, no, I'm not. I'm not leaving all of
I'm not going to listen to this one.
So movies are probably the easiest thing to point to, as I said up top, where it's like, why does Wes Anderson get all the credit? Or why is like Peter Jackson's name slapped all over Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
So what about the producers? What about the screenwriters? The screenwriters have to come up with the story, right? Or at least put it down on paper. Or what about the best boy? He did something.
He gripped really well.
Yeah. Good job, best boy. What about the craft service table?
Yeah.
Deserves some credit, right? And there's not an exact answer, but I did find a Reddit post where I go for all of my facts.
Good.
That provides what I feel is an adequate explanation. There was a guy named R. Lightfoot on Reddit that asked, it seems that directors always get a lot of credit for creating great films compared to the writer. I appreciate that the director is the one who brings out the story to life and has a large impact on how the film turns out. But if the script cannot be great... But if the script is not great, then surely there is only so much that they can actually do to turn it around. Maybe I do not fully understand the role of a director. And Rocket Surgery, which is a great name, replied, here are some of my thoughts on it. It's easy to read a screenplay of a great movie and think, well, it's all here, but out of a single screenplay can come hundreds of possible interpretations. The story is, of course, important to the film, but what makes a film great is how the story is told, not just what happens in it. So it's like a DC movie. I feel like everyone that writes a DC movie goes out and watches a bunch of movies and they're like, okay, that goes in a movie. All right, let me write that down. That goes in a movie. Let's write that down. That goes in a movie. Let's write that down. But they suck at executing it because they don't care about how the story is told. They just take these things and they're like, all of these things show up in movies. So these go in our movies and then we have a good movie, right? No, because it matters how the story is told and you don't care about that. You care about money.
Yeah.
Whereas like Marvel has human elements to their things.
Human elements, tension, story building.
Yeah. Universe building, you know.
Yeah.
DC just makes me really mad.
Well, people have chosen, right? I mean, it's not like there's... equally
Suicide
footed.
Squad won an Oscar, though.
Yeah.
I don't care if it was for makeup. It won an Oscar somehow. It's got like 30 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Explain that one to me, Trump.
Whoa. Yeesh.
So the point that Rocket Surgery makes is that this is something that can tie back to many forms of art, like architecture, music, or video games, or whatever, is that they might not have the original idea. They might not have all the skills to pull everything off. Or they might not even have the money or whatever. But there's someone that does a really good job tying all these things together. This director says, this lighting looks good, and my cinematographer makes sure that the shot looks good, and all these actors are cohesive together.
Yeah, they're like
bringing out good performances, and
they own a cupcake shop, and the recipe is the script.
Uh huh.
They make it their own and make it good.
Yeah,
you gotta make it the best if you want to stand out and stay in business.
Yeah, succinctly put. I just put that at the top of the show, and there you go. But the moral of the story is sometimes if you want credit, you gotta fight for it. And if you don't care, then that's why some people don't get credit for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta speak up because you can't get it being passive.
Yeah. You want to recap?
Yeah. Many projects in the world are collaborative.
Uh-huh.
It all comes down to money. Again, God, as many other times.
Money sucks.
No, the people behind it suck. Money's fantastic. Money buys me many, many great things and feeds my puppies and feeds me and buys me nice food and a good house and cars and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, well, you know what? Can't buy me love.
Hmm. Gross. You can buy love.
Like a Beatles song.
I can buy things for, like, someone I love and let them know that I appreciate them. And they can feel closer to me and bond over me over it.
Yeah. Here's this candle. Now, do you feel closer to me?
I've never felt further away. I'll see you later. This has been Stranger Still.
Should we go into our things?
Yeah, let's go to listening questions.
John, I already sang this song on an episode.
You gotta make up something original for me, Nick.
Sorry. John. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
I
once ripped that song off in a fake Harry Potter movie.
Man, I'm so glad that we made that all up just now.
Mm.
Where can people find us?
You could go to StrangerStillShow.com.
Uh-huh. And you can find us on Twitter at StrangerStill.
Or in our Facebook group.
Which is popping off.
I was going to say the same thing. Now I got to think of a new word. Oh, great, which is great.
which is
good.
Great. Just stealing all types of things.
It is good. Stranger Still Group.
Went with that instead.
Yeah, it's a little too aggressive. Let's tone it down a little. They're good.
They're adequate.
Yep. You can also find us on Stitcher and on your
iTunes,
Google Play Store.
Google Plays.
Yep.
What's the other one? There's like Pocket Casts everywhere.
Yeah.
The other thing too is that you should leave us a review on iTunes or Google or wherever.
And we promised last week that if you did, we would read it.
And we got one. So thank you to, and I'm gonna have a hard time saying this, I think it's Linguartisan.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they left us a 5 stars, which thank you so much, dude.
That's my favorite number of stars.
You're great. You're great, Linguartisan. They said, short and oh so sweet. I thought I left a review before, but I don't see it. I guess I'll solve that problem right now. These guys are consistently funny and educational. I'm not the type of guy to laugh out loud myself, but I frequently find myself doing so with the clever wordplay. Quick, do a clever wordplay.
Give me a word.
Sandwich.
Sandwiches, manwiches.
Good one. On top of that, I genuinely learn new things from the show all the time, and I am a sucker for bizarre facts and useless trivia. You're welcome.
Yeah, give him a useless fact, Nick.
Crap.
On the spot. On the spot. Let's go. Give me one.
The TIE fighter sound from Star Wars is elephants.
Okay, keep going. Read.
At a half hour, it's not much reason not to give this a try, so go. Do it. Thank you, Lingu.
Demanding and great. Yeah.
Instead of listener mail, speaking of our Facebook group, it is where it's popping off. Everyone loves your grandma, so I thought she likes to spread knowledge, which is very great of her. It's the point of our podcast. And occasionally she'll post some really fun facts on our Facebook page, so I was going to read a couple. This is from Josephine...
Pesipain.
There's another word in there.
Sharka.
That's not what it looks like.
Siaka.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Sharka.
Oh.
Let me tell you a story real quick.
Okay.
Sharka is a...
Vacuum?
Very good vacuum. I have a Sharka at home. It's very good. Actually, I've been meaning to get a new one, but, you know, one that gets... It's good with pet hair. So, Sharka is my grandmother's maiden name.
Okay.
Which is related and in cousins with...
Yeah.
Banano. Banano...
What's Banano?
That's like her father's cousins and things like that. The Banano crime family was in charge of New York City with the mafia.
Oh.
In the 60s, I think in the 70s. So they would, you know, go out and about and do their business. And my great grandfather would be like, "You guys need anything? You can I come hang out with you guys?" And they're like, no. You got kids. Come fix this toilet." And he would do like plumbing for them and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Banana crime family.
Wow. So you're technically mafia.
No, this is like three families removed.
Oh, well, that's boring.
And it's common knowledge. It's on Wikipedia.
You just got way less interesting.
Okay.
So your grandma posted, "Did you know that it takes glass 1 million years to decompose, which means it never wears out, theoretically, within our lifetime, I guess, and can be recycled, and it can be used an infinite, within our lifetime, amount of times."
I like that a lot.
Yeah. That's a good trivia fact for you.
But then how come, like, I drop it on the floor and it breaks? I can't use it again.
It's not infinite. I'm just going to throw it in the trash. I'm not going to recycle it.
Yeah, well, are you supposed to tape it together? This is garbage.
Yeah. One thing that maybe we'll talk about later, because I don't know the answer. I've always wondered why, like, glass will warp over time. Like, people thought that it was fluid for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, a very, very slow-moving fluid, but it's not. But it does, like, melt.
Yeah, like old windows.
Yeah, it's in my brother's new house. Like, the windows are warped, and I hate looking outside because it's all, like, jagged and stuff. Yeah. It makes me seasick just looking outside. I want to know why that happens. So if anyone knows, write in. Tweet at us. Go to our Facebook page. Thank you. And then another one here. Don't use chemicals to kill ants. Get a spray bottle, fill it with water and salt. 25% of salt, I guess. Shake well, spray, boom, dead. Can you support this?
Can you read the comments underneath that, please?
Yes. Did you post on here? You did. Or just, like, leave them alone. I just use water, swipe them up, and throw them outside.
That's me, right? I said that? Okay. What did she say underneath that?
What would you do with a mouse? And you said, "Grandma, mice are cute. I would get a humane trap or name it and feed it." And your grandma said, "Jonathan, you are certainly your mother's son. Me, I'd run after it with a broom."
Yep. And that did happen when I was a kid.
I always wonder, like, if a giant spider rat shows up in our house, like, I like to imagine that I'll be big and tough and I'll be like, "All right, I'm going to pick it up and put it outside." But I'm pretty sure I'd be like, "Dad." Beep, boop, beep, beep, boop. "Dad, I know you're in Minnesota, but there's a rat in my house. I don't know what to do."
Oh, I would come over. You call me. I'd be friends with it. I'd go in the room. You'd give me like 3 hours. "John's been there a long time." And then you'd come in and be like, "Oh, Nick, you're back. Mr. Squiggles, sit, shake."
You're the rat whisperer.
Yeah.
Cesar Milan.
Do you call me a rat? What did I just tell you about my family history?
What size you wear to my shoes?
Yeah.
There's another callback. Go listen to our first 5 episodes. We're a completely different studio. Isn't that weird to think?
Or don't, you know?
They were good.
They're okay.
They were decent. You want one more from your grandma?
Yeah.
She said, "Did you know that if you're in an area that has cell phone service, but don't put your phone on airplane mode and switch back, this will cause your phone to register all of the found towers in your vicinity?" I don't know what she's trying to say.
So she's saying,
if you don't have service,
reset.
Yeah, and it will ping all the towers.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
They're hit and miss.
I think your grandma types on her phone a lot, because I see a lot of trends that I see with my dad when he types on his phone. Just that there's erratic spaces and just like missing words and periods in the middle of words and stuff. One of them said, "Jonathan, proud of you. Mom said you wrote great music for this film at CW post-college. Keep it coming. Love you."
I will probably post that after this episode comes out.
Yeah.
I did soundtrack for a zombie spoof movie.
Uh-huh. Which was at a film festival, right?
It premiered in New York City.
Yeah, very nice stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully CW post, which is college, not,
I don't know.
But not New York City.
Oh. All right, so none of the things you just said.
Yeah, but I didn't write any music. No, I did. I wrote music, and it premiered out of college, and it was really cool. My parents went, and John Min-jeong stood up and thanked me and had my parents there and took pictures of them, and it was cute.
So it was basically like that you were being recognized at the Oscars.
Sweet. Yeah.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
This has been Stranger Still.
I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And Wait. This has been Stranger Still.
Yep.
Researched by John. Copyright.